Not yet.
Right, okay. Okay. So today is Daf Hey in Maseches Chagiga. So today is going to be a little bit different than the last couple Dafim in the sense that our brains won't need to be working as hard. It's entirely Agadata, but sometimes that's a little more arduous. I do want to make one point that I meant to make last week and I forgot. Something very interesting, especially the Gabayim in the crowd might appreciate this. And that is, we mentioned last week a very interesting halacha, which is that there are certain occupations that smell very bad. And we had a drasha that because it says kol zechurcha, you have to be able to go up with your entire entourage, since no one wants to go up with a smelly person, so those people are exempt from alila rega. So Rav Soloveitchik writes that this can explain a minhag we have. So for those gabayim, you'll tell me the exact lashon. On Yontif, on Shalosh Regalim, ultimate gabay. Okay, so we have a special insert in the Mishaberach when someone gets an aliyah, right? That's specific to the regel. What is that lashon? V'yizku la'alos l'regel in kol Yisrael achav and omar amin, right? So he says, okay, so essentially what the shul is doing is giving this person a bracha. That, you know, they're getting the aliyah now, but they should come and there'll be a little regel in the future. But then we add, v'yizkul as a regel, in kol Yisrael echav, with all of his brothers. So on the one hand, on the simple way, you just say, it means, it's a bracha to him, that it should be with all kol Yisrael. But Soloveitchik just said, no, it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara said that the only way someone actually has a chiyuv to be olul regel, is if he could be kol zechurcha, go up with everyone. If you can't go up with everyone, you're not even chayev. So our bracha to the ole is incomplete if it's only to him. Because let's say he is a smelly profession. So our bracha to him is, v'yizkulos aregel im kol Yisrael achav. Your bracha is that you'll be ole regel with everyone, kol zechorcha, and then we all answer amen to that. That's our Soloveitchik insight to the addition to the Misha Berach on Yontif. Very interesting. Yes. Okay, so let's pick up from Dalet Amud Beis. We are up to about 10 or 12 lines up from the bottom. We're continuing in the sugya of different Tanoim and Amoraim who cried when they recited various psukim. We got into this because the first pasuk that someone cried on was the fact that the pasuk said Yira'eh, that initially God wanted to see us be olul regel, and then at a later point in history, he essentially said to us, I don't want to see you anymore. And that got us into a whole sugya of different cryings on different psukim. So now this one is about 12 lines up from the bottom, Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara says, in the middle of the line, Rabbi Ami ki mati lahai kra bachi. When he got to the following pasuk, he cried, Yitain ba'afar pihu, that a God will put dust in his mouth, ulai yesh tikva, and perhaps there'll be hope. Meaning essentially it's saying that if we go through suffering, perhaps we'll come out on the other end with a little bit of hope. So Rabbi Ami read this pasuk and he said, Amar kuli hai v'ulai, you're telling me we have to suffer, yitin ba'afar piyu, have dust in our mouth, and only maybe we'll have tikva? What kind of chances does that give us if we have to go through all that, and tikva and hope is not guaranteed? That's why he cried. Ravami kimati lahai krabachi. Ravami got to the following pasuk, he cried, Bikshu tzedek, bikshu anava. God asks from us righteousness, he asks from us humility. Ulai tistiru biyom af Hashem. And if we fulfill those, perhaps God will hide his wrath from us. So again, Omar, Ravami says, Kule hai, you could be a person who's been righteous, been humble, and still v'ulai, and only maybe, perhaps God will hide his wrath from you. Again, it's a pasuk that it, you know, if you take it at its face value, it's a little bit disconcerting.
What do you mean? If you're true anava, if you're an anav, you would never be sure. To be consistent as an anav, it has to be ulai.
But this is not from your perspective, this is from God's perspective, that God only might hide his wrath from you. You've done everything right in your life, and God, what? Well, no, the Puzzle's testifying about, not about you. It's not saying what you feel. The Puzzle's saying a person who, objectively, from God's perspective, is tzedek, is anav, And God says, okay, I might hide my wrath from such a person. So, you know, how is that justified?
Look at the Asari, like, you know, the El Eskara, the 10 martyrs.
Oh, so we're going to get to that in a second, about sort of the punishment and reward for what we do. So, Rav Asi kimati lahai krabachi, sinu rav avutov, bitzigu bishar mishpat. I guess, again, all similar drushes, that God hates, someone who hates evil, he loves good, he always walks in the gate of judgment, proper judgment. Ula yechanin Hashem l'ketzavakos. And perhaps God will have mercy on such a person. So again, kuli haibu ula, you could do everything right, and only perhaps God will have mercy on you. So now here's where Bob's point comes in. Rav Yosef kimati lahai krabach. And here we're going to take this a little bit further. V'yesh nesva below mishpat. So this is a pasuk in Mishlei, so it's all really an allegory. But the Gemara seems to say that what this means is there could be nisva. Nisva could also be tzof, like the end. There could be someone who dies below mishpat. And it wasn't justified. He died and it wasn't his time. Sometimes we'll say he died before his time, which on the surface sounds like a very anti-Jewish thing to say, because how could it ever be not be someone's time? Right? If he died, that means it's your time. But the Gemara here on the surface seems to be saying, no, it's possible for a person to die before his time. What does that mean? So the Gemara asks, mi ikka da azo blows mani. Our question right now is, how is it possible from a Torah hashkafa for a person to die before his time? If you die, that means God wants you to die at that time. So the Gemara says, it is possible. Ki hadr bibi barabaye, there was a certain amora, havishchiach gabe malach hamavis. He had a personal chavrusa, he saw him at the bagel store, the malach hamavis and him were friends. So Amar le l'shluche, so he overheard what the Malach HaMavis was doing. So one day he heard the Malach HaMavis saying l'shluche to his servant, to his messenger, Zil Aisili Miriam Megadla Seir Nishia. Go bring for me, meaning kill, Miriam the hairdresser, the woman who braids hairs. I want to take her. It's her time. So Hishliach, like I guess he was an intern, maybe his first week. Azul Aisili Miriam Megadla Dardiki. The wrong Miriam, right? Whatever it was. So he brought the Miriam who was the school teacher.
Oops.
So Amarle, so the Malach HaMavis says, are you kidding me? Ana Miriam Megadla Seir Nishia Amrilach. I told you to get Miriam the hairdresser. You brought me the wrong Miriam. So Amarle, so the intern says, oh, you're right, my bad. Ihachi Ahadre. Alright, I'll fix it, I'll switch it, I'll bring the Miriam, the school teacher, back, and I'll take Miriam the hairdresser, I'll kill her. So, the Malach HaMavis says, Amarle, no, Hoil v'aisisa lahavile minyana. Listen, once you brought Miriam, the school teacher, here, let's just make her part of the count. Right? Let's not switch it back. So, the Shliach says to the Malach HaMavis, well, elaheicha yecholtla. So this is interesting, his question is, the shliach of the Malach HaMavis is assuming that the Malach HaMavis has a shliach is from God. And the Malach HaMavis might, sort of like the Itzahara, have a little bit of his own free will in the sense that God gives him permission to sort of see to it, you know, make a judgment call. This person's pretty bad. If you want to take him, take him. But someone who is completely innocent, like Miriam, a school teacher, so the shliach's question to the Malach HaMavis is, how'd you get away with this? Meaning, how was I even able to execute and to kill this woman if I completely messed up? So there had to have been something that at least maybe she was partially deserving of this, or else I would not have been able to actually take her.
Pointing to Rabbi asked the question.
Rabbi Bibi asked the question.
Yeah, not the Shliach.
He's asking the Malach HaMavis.
Remember, they're hanging out together. So.
Yeah. Okay, so he's asking how is this possible. So the Malach HaMavis says, have a Nikita. What happened? Have Nakita Misara Biyada. So she was holding a fire poker and she was going to stoke the coals in her oven. Bahaveka Shagra, and she lit this thing on fire. Umachare Tanura, she was using it to sweep her oven. Shakalta van Chosa Agava Dekara. When she was lifting it, it rested on a part of her foot or her leg, Kadcha, and it burned her. Now we know that this is kind of like the way we say that a person shouldn't put himself into dangerous situations, because that's talking about saying something. But also when a person puts himself into a dangerous situation, this is what I'm talking about in terms of the Malach HaMavis, then all of a sudden he's able to jump on that and say, oh, this person is doing that, now maybe I can get him. So this Miriam, the school teacher, she was burned. She was in a situation of danger. And it was at that moment, Vaisisei. And that's when the Malach Mavis told her, Bibi, I was able to get her because she put herself in a dangerous situation. So Amr Le Bibi Barabaye, hold on one second. Forget the fact that you were able to do this because she burned herself. But Islecha Reshusel Miyabinachi? But it wasn't her time. So it's true that she burned herself, but who gave you the Malach HaMavis permission to take someone? I mean, you have a boss. Your boss is God too. So you can't just do something without permission from God. So Amar Leh, so the Malach HaMavis says back, what do you mean? The Malach HaMavis knows Tanakh. He knows what it says in Mishle. It says, V'lo k'siv v'yesh nesva v'lo mishpat. Hey, what does it say in Mishle? It says that it's possible for there to be an end without proper judgment. And the simple interpretation of that pasuk is that a person could die even though they were not meant to die, or that the judgment wouldn't have dictated that they should die. So the Malach HaMavis, that's his justification for the fact that he, even though it was a mess up, that he was able to take Miriam the school teacher. Some are later, Bibi says, B'haksiv dor holich v'dor ba. It sounds like from this pasuk, the pasuk in Koheles, that each generation is perfectly fit one to the next. And so when one person's time is up, the next person comes along. It doesn't sound like there's any room for mistakes, any room for early terminations. It sounds like it's very clear, dor holich v'dor ba. So how's the Malach HaMavis going to respond to that? So he says, Amar, darina luhu ana admaluhu ledara. So I understand what you're saying, and both psukim are really true. On the one hand, it's true that a person can die before his time. On the other hand, it's true that every person has to live out their allotted years. How could those be reconciled? It says, Darina luhu ad ana, I the Malach HaMavis, hold such a person. Let's say Miriam the school teacher. It wasn't her time. I the Malach HaMavis, hold her in like a little chamber upstairs. Ademaluhu dar. Let's say she died when she was 40. She's supposed to die when she's 80, according to Mishpat. So for 40 years, Miriam the school teacher is not in her final place. She is with the Malach HaMavis, just hanging out the Hadar, and then when it's those 40 years are finished, then she goes further, Mashlima Leila Duma. Then she'll go to Duma, which Rashi says is a Malach that Shomer the Mason. And her name is Duma. And therefore, so there's really a two-stage process. The Malach HaMavis is the one, or his shliach executes the person. That person, if it wasn't their time, they stay with the Malach HaMavis for a little bit. And then when their time is officially up, their years, according to Mishpat, have ran out, they go to Duma.
That's still before her time.
Right? Basically, it's a cover-up.
Different quality.
Correct, it is before her time. But that's what Malach HaMavis is saying. Well, V'yish Nesma L'Mishpat, well, Dor Holich V'dor Ba just means, doesn't mean in this world. It just means the final stage, it is true that it won't get to that final stage until the Mishpat is up. So that's a way to sort of explain both psukim. The Marsha points out that this explains something a pasuk we say in davening every single day. What do we say? Lo hamesim, no. Well, I don't say every day, in Halo say it. Lo hamesim yahaluka, v'lo kol yordei duma. What does that mean? It says, lo hamesim yahaluka, people who are dead cannot praise God, v'lo, and neither can kol yordei duma, those who go down to duma. What's duma? Marsha says, that's this Gemara, that there's two stages. There's Malach HaMavis, there's death, and then there's duma. So whether you're in, like Miriam the school teacher had 40 years of being in a holding chamber with Malach HaMavis, or whether you're with Duma, the Shomer HaMesim, either way you can't praise God. But that's pshat. What else is pshat? How else do you explain what Duma means? Duma is referring to the Malach HaMavis. I was doing this with the Chavrus and they pointed out, is that why they named the restaurant the Five Towns Doma? I don't know. You have to ask the owner about that.
So what happened to Miriam the hairdresser? Does she live a long life now?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe she never dies now because her time was up and she didn't die. So,
I don't know.
It's like a pardon. Malach HaMavis didn't do his job. Did you just say that the Malach HaMavis made a mistake? Sounds like.
Well, it was the intern's fault.
But isn't Malach HaMavis a regular Malach? I mean, like we say in all these Malach Gavriel, I mean, they can only do their mission. They can't do anything outside of that, right? And so how does Malach HaMavis get leeway? And like any other Malach, they shouldn't get leeway.
I don't understand. How could a Malach make a mistake? Malach can only do the will of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You can't make a mistake.
Yeah.
Is this story to be taken? How is the story to be taken?
Yeah, I mean, these are Gadot Gemaras. We take it, you know, what we can take from it. We take Yashkafa, we take Yesodos, but whether or not this happened and how it happened, that there are certain achronim that are known to explain a Gadot, like the Marsha explains a Gadot, the Ein Yaakov explains a Gadot. So sometimes in these scenarios, you look at different Svarim that sort of explain it, but when we're going through a Daf HaShavuot, we have to just take it a little bit.
It's not very comforting to hear that they can make a mistake like this.
Yeah. Well, the son of Billy Joel said that only the good die young.
That's true.
See, they're all malpractice lawyers, and the Malchamas, they can't convince them.
Malpractice lawyers, they never done. Hanging around there.
So the Gemara actually asks a question now a little bit differently. The Gemara asks, sort of what Wayne was saying, but spun a little differently. The Gemara asks that if we assume that there are a certain allotted amount of years in the, actually, it's more like what Ira was saying. There's a certain amount of years allotted in this world for Miriam, the school teacher, and she was taken, let's say, 40 years early. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Sof Sof, Shanea Mai Avadet. Those 40 years, are they sort of swallowed? Are they eaten? Meaning those 40 years that a person was supposed to live in this world, they were taken early. So,
does she give them someone else?
Right, that's the question. What happens to those years? So the answer is, Amar iikat tsurva mirabanan, demaver bemile, mosfina lahu, le, vahave chalufe. Yes, it's possible you have a young rabbi who's maver bemile. What does maver bemile mean? It says Rashi, maver el midosav. So if a person wants to know the one mida that can make him live longer, it is maver al midosav, which means a person who essentially foregoes his hakpados, right? One of the worst things that, what worst me does is for a person to be so brazen and set in his ways that he's not open when someone points out something he's doing wrong. When someone slights him, he has to automatically take revenge. So someone who's mavir al midosav, it's okay, right? He understands that everybody in this world really is shliach, doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do. So such a person, actually those 40 years might be added to his life, and then that will be the trade. So this also gets into what is mi-mishpat then. If that Tzurim Rabbanan only had a certain amount, but now he's getting added. But we find this throughout Chazal, right? We had David HaMelech had certain years taken off from his life. Right. So the calculation of years seems to be well beyond our comprehension.
Adam gave David
70 years. So
like spending a newspaper and sending it to the end of the expiration date.
Just like Rashi
said. So essentially, hold it. The angel of death gives the extra years? Are we going to read this?
Should I go to the rabbi?
The Mahamavitz?
What, that is his choice?
That's what it seems to be saying here. Angel said, I add the years.
The Mahamavitz looks for,
he's controlled, and basically he controls how many years you're going to live.
Right. Okay.
It'd be nice to the idea.
Okay, so now we're continuing in the crying on different psukim. So Rabbi Yochanan kimati lai krabachi, vatisiseni bo lebalo chinam. This is a pasuk by Eov, where essentially the Satan, the Tzahara, whatever you want to call it, is having a conversation with God, and God is trying to defend Eov and saying, you can't rock Eov. Eov is a rock. Eov will not sin, will not falter. And Batisisenibo, essentially, he gives permission to the Malchamavis, not to the Malchamavis, to the Satan, the Tzahara, to test Eov. Right? And that's sort of why all the trials and tribulations happen. But that creates a little bit of a hashkafic problem for us, or not a problem, but at least a sad reality, which is that Eved Shiravo Masisin Lo, Vinises, Tekano Yeshlo, or we assume that if we do everything right in this world, God will reward us or punish us accordingly. But now you have something where you have a third party, the Satan, who comes to God and says, yeah, he's good, he's doing everything right, but why don't you give him this problem and give him this problem? So we didn't necessarily deserve it. It's sort of Satan sort of, you know, egging on God, Kav Yochel, and saying, let's test him with this. So when you have a master who has a third party who's telling the master, you know what, give him this Yisurim, and the master listens, that doubles our pain, because if it's just the master, fine, he'll give us the mishpat. But now you have a third party that's sort of in the master's ear telling him to do something, so that Takani Yeshlo, do we really have an opportunity to not sort of suffer because the Satan seems to win out in many of these cases? Rabbi Yochanan kimat l'krabachi, it says, Hein b'kdoshav lo yamin. So this is referring to the fact that God says also in Eov, he says that God doesn't even have faith in his malachim. God doesn't even trust the malachim. And we pointed out before, malachim really only have bechira to do what they do, so it's not like they could really make the wrong decision. And if God doesn't really have faith in them, says the Gemara, "Ibekedosha blo yamin, b'man yamin." Then what do you have faith in? I mean, he definitely doesn't have faith in us. We have a yetzer hara. We often sin. And says the Gemara, a story about this, that yom achad, there was one day, havaka azil ba'orcha, certain guy was walking on the road, chaz yelahu gavra, tavi mankit te'ine. He was picking figs. The side point, how do you know what's a fig, what's a date, which one's a tamar, which one's a te'ina? Right, you gotta go on a date with tamar. I always wanted to have a daughter named Te'ina just to ruin that joke, but that's the way you do it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he was picking figs. Shavik hanach de matu. He was foregoing the ones that were ripe. Vishako hanach de lo matu. And he was actually putting in his basket the figs that were not ripe. So this person is looking at this and saying, Amrle lav honey malatve. Isn't it preferable to pick figs that are ripe? So Amrle, this person said, yeah, you don't understand my situation. Honey la'orcha ba'inan lehu. I'm going on a trip. So I'm not eating these right now. I need to store them. So honey nitron, the ones that are not yet ripe, those will not spoil. The honey and the ones that are ripe, that are, you know, you go to the store, you see a banana, I don't buy the bananas that are fully yellow because I want them for the week. You buy the ones that have a good amount of green in them. Not too green, but you want that perfect spot. So the honey, the ones that are ripe, low nitron, won't last. Now, and says the Gemara, Amar hainu dechsiv, hainu bekedosha of lo yamin. That's what it means. It's not what we thought. It's not that God doesn't have faith in us. It's that hin bekedoshav, when it comes to the righteous of the righteous of people in this world, lo yamin. You know God doesn't believe the way Rashi explains it? It's that God sometimes will take them early, only good die young. Specifically, this is what it means. Why? Because he doesn't trust that they'll live the whole life like that. So better to take them at a point where they're fully a tzaddik than to let them go on further and essentially, perhaps not be that way, right? The way Rashi says it is that hatovos yira pen yirkavu, just like by figs, the man knew that if it was a good fig, it would spoil. So af habachurim hatzadikim nechazin lemisa, he'll take them early for misa pen yechatu, before they sin. Again, it's hard to grapple with hashkapli what that means. You do everything right, and yet exactly.
That's an example,
right? So the Gemara says, Eni, is this concept really true that it's possible that God will take someone early specifically because they're so good, because they do everything right, in order that they shouldn't ever sin? Baha, who tell me that? There was a certain young bacher, Tahave b'shevusa de Rabbi Alexandre, he was living in the community of Rabbi Alexandre, b'shachav adezutar, he died when he was very young. So the Amar, so the rumbling in the community was, Iboy hai mirabana and have chai. If he would have been better, if he would have learned more Torah, if he would have, says Rashi, Leos holich b'derach tovim, if he would have been a better guy, he would have lived longer. So that's what they were rumbling about. So young Bacher, he was in yeshiva, and they're saying that. So the Gemara says, V'im Isa, and if it's really true that it's possible that God could take someone early specifically because they're such a tzaddik, then why did they automatically jump to the conclusion that this Bacher died because he wasn't a good boy? What do you mean? Dilma mehein b'kdosha v'lo yamin hava. Maybe he was part of that category of individuals that was such a tzaddik, God decided to take him early. So Gemara answers, okay, but here was circumstantial. They understood, hahu mebait b'rabosav hava. This Bacher, everyone knew that he was rebellious. He didn't listen to his rebbeim. He didn't have good midos. So it's not like, oh, I'm a bad guy, but maybe I'm a tzaddik. No, we know you're not. So it's not like a guessing game. A person who was a tzaddik, it's not like everyone's going to think he's a rasha, but really he's a tzaddik. So this boy, everyone realized he wasn't in the category of being such a tzaddik, the guy would take him early.
We can understand this. What's the concept of tshuva and somebody giving the opportunity to... We can't understand this.
Very hard to understand.
It's impossible to understand.
Correct. So, continuing on in the crying, so Rabbi Yochanan kimatu la'ikra bachi. Rabbi Yochanan cried at the following pasuk: the karafti aleichem lemishpat. So God brings you close to justice. Vahisi aid mimaher, and he's a witness that's quick to testify. Machshafim v'menafim, like the sort about someone who violates these type of averos, someone who violates sorcery, umenafim, adultery, mishpam l'shaker, someone who swears falsely, Oshkei Sachar Sachir, someone who doesn't pay his workers' wages on time. So what's the crying? Eved Sherabo Mekarvul Aduno. Umimahir Laido. Right? Look at the pasuk. God is like almost eager to get us on the trial. Right? He's like our prosecutor. If he's supposed to be having our back, our defense attorney, but or the pasuk sounds like he's our prosecutor because the pasuk says that he's karafti l'mishpat. If you're a defense lawyer, you want to get settled. You don't want to get him on trial. And not only that, it says umimahir lahayit. He's like quick to testify about our flaws. So says the Gemara, when you have an eved, us, Sherabo, our God, Mekarvel Aduno, brings us close to din. Quick, umimahir lahayit, and quick to testify about all our flaws, takani yeshlo, what hope do we really have? So remember Yochanan ben Zakkai, oy lanu sheshakol alinu hakasuv kalos kechamuros. So woe is to us that this pasuk equates things that are seemingly light with things that are seemingly stringent. What does that refer to? So we know menafim, adultery, mechashvim, sorcery, these are things that are like the top of the list for somebody who's doing something not good. Schar sachir, I didn't pay my babysitter, I told her I'll pay her next week. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the check. Like, that's on the same level as adultery? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, if God's going to prosecute us the same way on paying my worker one day late with someone who commits adultery, then we all have problems. Amar Reish Lakish, kol hamata dino shel ger, kilu mata dino shel mala. A person who tilts, who doesn't necessarily do justice to a ger, to a convert, you're literally tilting the din of God. Shenemar umate ger umate ksiv. That essentially the pasuk in that same pasuk where it refers to God essentially bringing you close and trying to testify about you. Right after that, it says umate ger. So it seems to equate it all in the same category to show that this is a very bad thing to do. Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, kol ha'oseh davar u'mischarit bo, someone who doesn't aveira but instantly regrets it, mochlin lo miyad. So God forgives him. Shenemar v'lo yiruni. In that same pasuk it said, you do all these aveiros and you don't have fear for me. You didn't care that you did that. You didn't feel bad. So the implication is, ha'yiruni, but if you did regret it, if you did fear me, if you did feel bad about it, mochlin lahen miyad. So Tosus over here just notes in Tosus Hayiruni Mochlin that towards the middle of Tosus he writes that, well, don't we know that tshuva is tola and Yom Kippur is mechaper? So how does that make sense? So every avera I do, I can just feel bad about it and it goes away? So then that would be pretty good. That would be a good deal. Yom Kippur wouldn't be as daunting if that was really the case. So how do you sort of, how do you synthesize these two things? And he said, the Tosus adds, Vika Braisa Cheres, Damar Alasei, Velosasei, Tshuva mechaperes, that tshuva really works for these things, and he says there could be yish lechalik v'in yoni tshuva yish shav u'mochin lo miyad v'yish shav u'mochin lo aval lo mechil gemura v'adayin yish onesh bosa onesh tolin. Sometimes you do tshuva, you're forgiven right away, and sometimes even with tshuva, you have to wait until Yom Kippur. Right? Essentially, he points out the Gemara and Shavuot says, how overall mitzvahs say, let's say a person didn't put on tefillin one day. Then when he's charit, he feels bad. Lo zaz misham ad shemochin lo. Hainu mechila gemura. So that could be a mechila gemura. It could be what the Gemara is referring to is a person violates, is mevatel an asay. So there, when I feel bad, the avira I did was the fact that I didn't do a mitzvah say, it could be the charata itself is enough to wipe that away. V'imshav v'chol libo ayde yisurin yischapru lo avonosav. But the question is, that charata, what does it really do? Right? So it's really like, what Tosfos is pointing out is there's several stages of this mechila and tshuva process. What we hope for in Yom Kippur is not to have a mechila, but also that our sins be wiped away, possibly even turned into zechuyos. So he's pointing out that without tshuva, it's very hard to say that you've sort of done everything you need to do. We know charata is one of the stages in the process of tshuva. Rambam, when he delineates that stages, right, there's azivas achit, there's charata, there's a lot, chabalah ala asid, right, I could regret a lot of things. A lot of people do averos, will instantly regret it, but then they continue to do it again, so how do we value or evaluate that level of charata? So it seems, Tosfos seems saying that there has to be a package deal. It could be on a certain level your charata does accomplish something, but you do need tshuva to get you to the finish line of to truly wipe away your sin. So while it's very good to have charata, and mochin lo miyad, there might be a mechila involved. Mm-hmm. But we're looking for more than I forgive you. We're looking to wipe the slate clean, and that you probably need tshuva for. So Rabbi Yochanan kimat la'ikra b'achi, ki es kol maseh Elohim yaviba mishpat al kol nelam. So the pasuk says that God Mevech Mishana will bring us to justice, to judgment, al kol nelam, on everything that's hidden. So now, Evet Shirabo Shokolo Shkagos Kizdonos Tekani Yishlo. So you're telling me that when God plays back the video of our lives, when He puts us on trial, He's going to hit us just as hard for the things that we did intentionally, also for the things we did unintentionally, al kol nelam, even things that we really didn't really weren't thinking about, didn't do intentionally. If He's going to get us for those equal to the ones that we did intentionally, then we also have a lot of problems to deal with. So, my al kol nelam, what are examples of averos that sort of we wouldn't necessarily think are that bad, but God will show us that this was really a problem? Amarav, zehahori kina v'mecha vero v'nimas. You have a friend who hates bugs, very squeamish, and you squash a bug right in front of him. So can you point to which of the 613 you violated in that situation, assuming you assume that bug was meant to die or he was bothering you? So right, it was the bug's time. But nevertheless, what the yesod is, that just even bothering your friend, you know your friend or your wife or your child doesn't like calling them that name or doesn't like when you do that and you do it anyway, that is something that God will essentially hold us accountable for in the next world. Shmuel Amar Zeharak Nechaveru Benimas. Again, similar concept. Someone who spits in front of his friend when his friend is disgusted by that occurring. So Ma'im Im Tovim Ra. The end of that pasuk of Al Kol Nelam said, God will hold us accountable for everything that's hidden, whether good or bad. So the implication is, something we're doing wrong also has an element of good to it. Right? Spitting in front of your friend, I'm not sure how you could really spin that I was really doing something positive or crushing the bug. But now we're going to see there's a mice you could do that sort of has an element of tov, and yet it's still what you're doing. The way you're doing it is ra. So I'm Rabbi Yanai, Zeha Nosin Staka La'ani Bifar Hesya. You're a good guy, you give staka, but you give it to him in front of everyone. That's very embarrassing. Right? The whole point of tzedakah is we try to make it as little embarrassment to the ani as possible. He had the Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai Chazi Lu Gavri. He saw a certain individual, giving money to a poor person in public. Amalei said to this giver, Mutav delo yahavele, mehasha de yavele vikasafte. Better not to give the ani than give it to him and embarrass him. Right? Because if it's a yatsus charbev seida, you gave it to him, but now he has this embarrassment. It could be you embarrass someone, you kill them, so you really didn't accomplish much in the way that you did it. So you see, there's a little bit some tov. I gave tzedakah, but the way I gave it is a problem.
That probably doesn't apply to the anim who stand out in front of shul.
All right, they're acknowledging. They're asking, correct. Right, this is someone who he would much rather meet you in your office or your house, and you take him out, I guess, maybe to show that you're a tzedakah giver, but clearly it's embarrassing to him. Today, Rav Shila Amri, Zaha Nosin Staka Leisha Beseser. It's, you know what, has a little bit of tov, but it's really ra. Mm-hmm. Someone who gives staka to a woman, but you give it to her in private. Dekamaisi La Lide Chashta. Because you'll bring her to suspicion. So interesting. Maisi La Lide Chashta. So apparently it's not necessarily that you've solved the yichud problem, right? You left the door open, you have video cameras in your office, whatever it may be, and yet you've caused her to be put in a tough spot. Because all people here, all people saw, was that now this woman went into your office, and now she comes out with money, and that's it. So you could have taken all the necessary steps. So the interesting yisod here, that not only do we have to think about how we look in situations, we have to think about how we make other people look. When we're in public, when we're even in private, something we do, well, when I do that, how will it make him look? How will people view him based on my actions? It's not always about how will it make me look, which we always obviously intuitively think about. But here, it matters. This person who's giving the tzedakah has to think about how people will perceive her. Even if he's gone through all the steps, that no one will think that I did anything wrong. It's not only about you. It's also about how people will perceive her. Rava Amar, Zeha Meshager Liishto Basar, Sheinu Mechutach B'Arbi Shabbasos. You come home from the supermarket on Friday afternoon, you bring home meat that was not properly great. Now we have all the meat in all the supermarkets. We don't have to worry about it. Everything's taken care of for us. Back in the day, you bought meat. You still had to do all the different things to take out the blood and nikur and all these different things, take out the gitanasha. So if you give your wife a piece of meat Friday, an hour before Shabbos, that's what are the chances she can take care of that? She has a million and one things going on. So the Harava Meshager, but Rava did do this for his wife every week. He would shop an hour before Shabbos. I think they say 50% off, close to the Shabbos, so you take advantage of the deals.
So is this like a Lifnei Iver almost, isn't it?
Is it Lifnei Iver?
Because she's rushing and she's not an expert in taking out the Gitanasha.
And she might serve it.
So it's really like a Lifnei Iver. You're really putting the stumbling block right in front of her.
Interesting. I'm not sure about that. I mean, we know there's a whole sugya when it comes to can you give food to someone if you don't have to make a bracha. This came up in high school. I remember the Rebbeim were serving pizza lunch. I guess, I don't know if they make more money that way or they just are bored during lunch, but they would serve us the pizza. I remember one of the Rebbeim saying, this guy is not going to make a bracha on this pizza. He's just not. He's not wearing a yarmulke. He's not. So can I give him the pizza? So is that Lifnei Iver? I mean, you have to go through the sugya of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver, first of all, has to be Trei Avad Dinara, which means that they can't get this or do this any other way. So over here, you're telling me that the only way she gavala the Isser is through me? It doesn't necessarily fit into the classical case of Lifnei Iver, in the sense that I'm the only way she gavala the Isser is because of me?
Yeah, because you're the one who gives us this meat. You're trapped.
And she couldn't have got the meat from someone else. Correct. If I didn't give it to her.
It's every week and she's waiting for it.
She's waiting for it. But technically, I could. She could have went to the store herself. She could have someone else bring it for her a little bit earlier. I don't know. It's an interesting question to think about. But Rava did do this to his wife every week. So the Gemara, Shiny Bas Rav Chista. Rava was married to the daughter of Chista, to Kinle Begava to Bekiah. Right, she was tzedekah. She was a righteous woman, and he knew that even an hour before Shabbos, she would take care of everything. So if you're confident that the person will do it, then you don't have to worry about anything. Rabbi Yochanan kimata lekrabach. When he got to the following pasuk, he cried, "Vayakisim tzena oso roos rabos vitzaros." So God will put us in situations where we'll be subject to roos rabos, a lot of bad things, vitzaros, and painful things. So eved sherabo mamti lo roos vitzaros. A servant whose master is providing him with a lot of bad and painful things, takani yeshlo, what hope is there? So my ro'os vitzaros, what's that double lashon? They seem to be very like synonyms almost. So I'm a rav, ro'os shenasos tzaros zuzos. You might remember from Yevamos, what does the word tzaros mean? I mean co-wives. So tzaros also doesn't mean pain, it means something that's connected to each other. So it's ro'os, it's bad things that are compounded. That these two things are individually bad, when you put them together, it's even worse. What's the example of that? Kigon zibura v'akrava. You have a bee sting and you have a scorpion sting. So Rashi explains why, because the Gemara elsewhere tells us that the remedy for one of them is to put hot water on the wound, and cold water does more damage than good. And the other one, it's to put the cold water and hot water damage. So you have the two stings on your arm. What did you put on? That's Ro Saros. That's each of these are bad, but now when they're together, it compounds the issue and makes it much worse than it would have been if they were there individually. Ushmuel Amar, now Shmuel is going back to what was an example of Al Kol HaNelam that was on the surface looks tov, but really is Ra. That's Zehamamti Lo Ma'os La'ani Bishas Dochko. If you give an Ani some money, only when he really needs it the last second, right? So the best case scenario to give tzedakah is the person comes and says, I have to pay my mortgage in 30 days. And you give them money now. If you give them the money on the 29th day, now all of a sudden he forgets and his phone died, and then you're putting him in a precarious situation. So it's you don't want to give the money at the very last second, because it puts him in a bind. Specifically, the Gemara is referring to with regards to how much, you know, we have like stores now, so we have prices, but back then when everything was fluctuating, the market prices, even on food, right? So if he's not going to have a choice. If you give him the money and he needs the money today, he has no food in his pantry, so then whatever the store is going to sell him, he's going to have to pay that price. And therefore, Amarava, Hayadamar Inchi, Zuzi La'alala, Lo Shchicha. It's very rare you're going to find to buy tvua for one zuz. But letzleisa shchiach, which either means for three zuz or it might mean le'ibud, that you could waste the money, that's very common. Meaning it could be that today the store is selling things for an exorbitant money, and because he needs it today, he's going to be forced to get a lot less for his money. Whereas if you give him the money more in advance, he has the ability to essentially watch the market and get more for that money. So you see, again, it was tov, but it was ra in the way you went about giving the tzedakah. So v'chara api bo bayom hahu v'azavtim v'starti panai mehem. So God says, I got angry with you on that day, I left you, and I concealed my face from you. So amar bardala bartivu me amar rav kol she'eno behester panim eno mehem. So the fact that the pasuk says v'starti panai mehem, what's mehem? Mehem is Jewish people. So apparently, God interacts with us in this world through Hester Panim. He's concealed. Rashi explains it. We daven, and more often than not, God is not answering our tefillos in the way we want it to. So if you're not Hester Panim, again, it's like you got to think about the double negative here. If you're not Hester Panim, that means you are answered. God does do what you want. Then, eno mehem. Then you're not actually a Jewish person. Because one of the midos, one of the ways God interacts with Jewish people is he often is behester panim. So someone who davens and right away gets what he wants, that person, that's not the Jewish way. Jewish way is we daven and don't always get what we want. And kol she'enu b'vahaya lecho, also eno mehem. And that pasuk it also says, v'hayya lecho, that you will essentially be subject to giving your money to goyim. Right? That goyim will take your money. So a person who's not that, person who never ends up giving money to Goyim seems to be also not a Jewish person, because that seems to be the way God interacts with Jewish people. So Amar le Rabban and the Rava, they looked at Rava and they said, hold on a second. Mar, you, Rava, lo behester panim yisei, v'lo bevahya lechol yisei. You, Rava, you daven for something, God grants it for you. And I've never seen you have to give money to Goyim. So what, are you not a Jew? It doesn't fit into this pasuk. So Amar lehu, Rava says, Miyadisu kama mishadrana betzina beshavar malka. Well, you don't know how much money I actually give to the king at the time. I give a lot of money to the goyim. But afilu, so again, so he's saying, I am a Jew. I am part of that pasuk. Like he didn't really address the fact that when he davens, God answers him. But at least in the Vayel Lecho, I'm still a Jew. But afilu achi yavu berabonanayu. They were still suspicious. They saw Rava. Too many good things were happening for him. He was davening, getting what he wanted. It didn't seem like he was giving too much money to the government. And so the Rabbanan looked at him with those eyes, which we know from throughout Shas, those are those evil eyes that when the Rabbanan look at you, something bad's going to happen. And Adahachi, right around that time, Shadr Debe Shavar Malka, they sent someone, Vigarvuhu. And they basically looted him. They took, the government took a lot of his money. And Omar, Hainu Ditanya, Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, Kol Makom Shenisnu Chacham Menehem, when the Chacham look at you with a certain evil eye, which again you could say explain very simply, it's a Maris Ayin. Like when we talk about not having a house that's so showy and different, like what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that it's possible for people to cast real. This is real. This isn't voodoo. An Ayin Hara on something. Now, we also believe that tzaddikim have more of that power than others because their ayin is more chashuv than our ayin. So when the rabbanon give an ayin hara to someone, it's o misa o oni. Either it kills them or it makes them poor. And here in the case of Rava, luckily for him, it only made him poor. Vanochi haster aster panai bayomahu. God will surely hide his face from you on that day. So I'm a Rava, I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Afal pi shestarti panai mehem. Even though God says, I will hide my face from you, that was only... Look at the pasuk. It said by yom hahu, by day. However, b'chalom adaber bo. Don't think that I'm completely cut off from you. I still will speak to you through dreams. So apparently, we know throughout Shas also that God does in a way speak to us through dreams. We know, most of a dream is shtus, right? But one stick. The Gemara says that a dream is 1/60th nevuah, which if you take that calculation, that means that 1/60th of your dream is valid and the rest is not. So, and the Gemara also talks about in many places that dreams really go after the pitron. Talk about Yosef and the butler and the baker, that dreams are often how we perceive them. God can give us a dream, depending on how we interpret it, that could actually be affect how the dream plays out. So our reaction to dreams can actually play a role in how they turn out. Rav Yosef Amar, Yadu Netuya Aleinu. that God essentially protects us with his outstretched arm. Shenemar ubetzel yadi kisisicha, with my hand that shadow protects you, with like a shadow, like shade, I cover you. So very interesting story right now. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya have kai be kesar. So Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was by the Caesar, and achuile hu api kurusa. And the Caesar had a certain servant or an official who was an apikores, and he motioned, Amada hadrina mari liapi mine. He sort of made a motion like this, where he turned away, indicating that this is a nation that God turned their back on them. So he made the turning the back motion to indicate that Rabbi Shua ben Chananya's God, he's an apikores, that he turns his back on his nation. So how did Rabbi Shua ben Chananya respond? Achuile, so he made a motion like stretching out his arm, indicating that, no, you're wrong. God doesn't turn his back on us. God protects us with an outstretched arm. So they were essentially responding, like dissing each other in motion. So, Amar Le Kesar Rabbi Yeshua, so he like saw them gesturing, didn't understand at all what they were gesturing about. So he said, "My achui lach, so what did this apikoris gesture to you?" So he said, "Oh, Amada Drina Mari Liapi Mine. Oh, he turned his back to me, indicating that God turns his back on us. Viana and I, Mechunia Le Yadon Tuyalini." When I responded back with the outstretched arm symbol, we indicated that God protects us. And then so that was Rabbi Shua ben Chananya's account of what took place. But Amru Le Lahu Mina, then the Caesar said to this apikores, he wanted his version of the story. So he said, "My achut le, what did you gesture to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya?" So he said, "Amada jina mari le'ape minei. I turn my back, indicating God turns his back on the Jews. So umay achula, what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya gesture back to you?" Well, yadana. The apikori said, "I didn't really get that gesture. I didn't know what he was doing." So Amr the Caesar says, "Gavra de lo yada my machulech. So apparently this official, one of his responsibilities was to be in charge of gesturing in front of the king, to indicate, to make signals. So if you can't even pick up simple gestures, how are you expected to be in charge of this gesturing? And therefore, afku v'kalu, they killed the Caesar killed this man for not picking up on that gesture. So kikonach nafshed, Rishu ben Chananya, when Rishu ben Chananya died, amalei rabbanon, my tahavi alam yafi karsin. So apparently Rishu ben Chananya like went to Ish. He was a king at responding to Minin, to apikorsim. So once he died, everyone got nervous. Someone's gonna knock on my door, they're gonna be a missionary, they're gonna tell me a pasuk and how it's interpreted, and I'm not gonna know how to respond. So Amar Lahem, so they said back, of the Eitza Bonim Nisrucha Chachmasam. That even when Eitza from the Jewish people is lost, their Chachma is spoiled. What does that mean? Kivan of the Eitzmi Banim, when, let's say, Rishu ben Chananya, when someone who's in that position, when he's lost, Nisracha Chachmasan Shumasa Olam. So the fact that he died, now their game will be lowered. Now the people who were in higher power, who had all these good rayas, their Chachma is going to go down as well. Because the Pasuk seems to make an equation that when our Eitzah goes down, their Chachma goes down as well. Or if you guys say Mahacha, but Yomar Nasav and Ilcha Velcho and Agdecha. You know, Esav said to Yaakov that let's go together. So you see, Lenegdecha indicates that they're equal. So basically, when we're good, they're good. When we lose someone like that, they also go down and they don't have the same firepower that they once had.
But there's a pasuk that says the opposite.
What?
When Esav goes up, Yaakov will go down. In that bracha. Yeah.
Oh, like in history, when one's up, one's down.
That's what Yitzhak's bracha to Yaakov.
Is there also a bracha also where it says Germania is up and down with you?
Yeah. Here.
One's down.
Within the bracha, it says one place, Kasher Yered.
Right, here Rashi says on the word Linegdecha, right, top, the Y line before it gets narrowed in the top, Bishaveh. So it seems to be saying that they will walk together. So again, it could be that others argue on this drasha, but at least for this purposes, in this Gemara, the drasha seems to be that when we're at a high level, they will be, and when we're not, they're not. It could be maybe we're just talking about chachma here, Ira. Maybe it could be that in terms of power, it's different, but in terms of just seichel, in terms of being able to respond, it could be that we're always sort of on the same level. So if we go down, they go down with us.
Is it the same level, or that we're always a little bit higher than that?
Well, Linegdecha here means Bishavah. Yeah. So here we went.
We didn't go with Esav.
Right.
Maybe for that reason, because we always have to be diametrically opposed.
Right. Interesting. Right there. This didn't actually come to fruition, right, as he's pointing out. He's asking him. So it's interesting to make a drush on what Esav wanted to do. Rabbi Elo ki avisalik bedarga, didi rav arshili, he was going up to the upstairs of a certain house. Shamil yenuka, he heard a kid to have a kari, ki hine yotzer harim ubori ruach, umagil adam masicho, a god who creates the mountains and created the wind, and will tell a person what he said. So Amar Eved, Jerabu Magilo Masicho, Tekani Yishlo. Again, same mashal, that when God plays back the video of our lives, and if he really plays back every word we've ever said, that's going to be a problem, because how often are we so careful with how we speak? But the question is, my Masicho, what is that referring to, some specific talking that we do? So Amar Rav, Afilu Sich Yesera, Shebin Ish Leishto, Magidim Lo La'adam B'Shas Misa. Even extra speech between a husband and a wife, which Rashi explains, means divrei schok shelefnei tashmish, joking around, foreplay, if you will, that a husband and wife will do before relations. That extra speaking, and apparently the Gemara seems to think that's not good. Right? This is apparently we're held accountable for that type of speech. So the Gemara is going to question: is that really such a bad thing to be having the sichah yaseira pre tashmish? V'ha Rav Kahana ki avigani tusi puraya de Rav. So this was the minute back then, that the Talmidim would go hide under the beds of the Rebbeim. We wouldn't try this nowadays. Probably get arrested. But back then, they would do this to sort of, this was like Gadol Shimushi or Termi Limudo, right? The way to really be Mishamish Rav is to follow him around wherever he goes. So Rav Kana was hiding under Rav's bed, apparently during Tashmish. Vishameh, the Sach, they were talking, the Tzach, they were laughing. Asat Srachav, they had relations. So now he comes out from under the bed. Hi, it's me, it's your Talmud. By the way, Shir was great this morning. And Omar, Dimei Pume de Rav, Kemandlo Tomle Tavshila. You sounded really excited, like you never did this before. Meaning, like, the difference, someone who's been doing it for a long time, the excitement of a new Chassan and Kala, it sounded like you were, all this Sicha and this Tzchok, it seems very unnecessary. So Amar Lei, so he says, Kana, Puk, get out of my room. Lav Orech Ara, you should not be here. But, what do you see from here? He didn't respond that, the sicha and the tzchok wasn't appropriate. He said, get out of my room. So it sounds like the Talmud's point that you did too much sicha and tzchok was a valid point. It just, he was like, get out of here right now. So how do we explain the fact that God's going to tell us the extra sicha b'nish l'ishto, and that's for some reason bad, when it sounds like even Rav himself, who was the one who made that statement, he himself, when he engaged in Tashmish, engaged in the Sicha Yisera. So the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, kan de tzarech liritzuya, ha de lo tzarech liritzuya. The answer is that women, this is women 101, they need to be appeased. They need to be in the mood. And therefore, you can't just go and have relations with a woman. There has to be some chok, there has to be some ritzui. Now, if the woman happens to already be in a mood where she's ready for relations, then the sicha and the tzchok is unnecessary. So in Rav's situation, whether, I don't know if his wife was mad at him, or she just needed to have a lot of joking around pre-Tashmish, so there, of course, it's appropriate and necessary. What the Gemara was referring to when it said God will let us know, masicho, that's talking about frivolity, that's talking about extra joking around that's beyond the pale, beyond what's necessary. V'mlo sishma v'mistarim tipka nashi megava. It says that in losish ma'uab mistarim tipke nafshi. That if you don't hear that in mistarim there's crying and megava. So this pasuk is very hard to translate on its surface. The Gemara will explain what it means. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yina mishmei derav makom yishlo kadosh baruch hu umistarim shemo. There's a certain place that God goes to. Again, God is the place. Everything is within God. But there's a certain place God carves out for Himself, nim mistarim, which. And that's what the pasuk means. It means that b'mistarim tipke nafshi. God goes and cries in mistarim. My bnei gava, he cries because of gava. Why is he crying? So I'm Reb Shmuel bar Yitzchak b'mnei gava son shel Yisrael shenit lamehas. Here, gaiva doesn't mean haughtiness. Gaiva means exaltedness. So God cries when the Jewish people were once at a certain grandeur, at a certain level, exaltedness, and now Jews are not necessarily at that level. V'nista lo kechavim. Now goyim are at that level. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini yomer b'nei gavas shel malchus shamayim. That was shenot la. Essentially, God's glory used to be on such a pedestal, and now it's not. So Gemara questions, umika b'chia kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does God really cry? V'yomer Rav Papa, God doesn't get sad. Shenemar, hod v'hadar lefanav, splendor and glory are in front of him. Oz v'chedva v'mkomo, in his place, only chedva, it's joy. So lokasha, habibate gavai, habibate barai. Probably there's, God has several chambers. In his outer chamber, of course, only joy. We go to the inner chamber, there God does cry. Says the Gemara, habibate barai lo, in his outer chamber does God not cry? V'haksiv. Vayikra Hashem Elkim Tzvakos Bayomahu, Lebechi Lemispid, Lekarchu Lachgorsak. That God essentially reserved, you're talking about like Tisha B'Av, when Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, it's a day of crying. And apparently for him as well. It doesn't say he went into Mistarim to cry. It sounds like he cried out in the open. How can you tell me God only cries in his inner chamber? It sounds like he cries in his outer chamber. Says the Gemara, Shaini Churvim Beis Hamikdash. Even malachim that are normally peaceful, joyous, even they cried. Shenemar, hein arelim tsa'aku chutza, and malachi shalom, mar yivkayu. So we see even the malachi shalom cried, and therefore, even though God doesn't normally cry in his outer chamber, but once in a while, especially at the churban beis hamikdash, God decided to cry as well. We can stop here.